Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, let's go. It's Wednesday, game install day at practice as the Bills get ready for the Baltimore Ravens in what could be a veritable monsoon on Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Glad you could join us. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker here with you. One Bills Live is the show, and we want to remind you that this week's game sponsor is On Location. On Location, unparalleled access to exclusive Bills fan experiences. We got the injury report from Coach for practice today, Steve. Not practicing today. Jordan Phillips, who Coach labeled week to week. So don't know that he's not going to make it to the game this week, so he's pretty much out. They're hopeful for next week, but even that is not a lock as Jordan Phillips dealing with that hamstring injury, so he will miss a second straight game. Ryan Bates not practicing. He is in the concussion protocol. Jay Kumerow not practicing. He has the high ankle sprain from last week's game. And Deion Dawkins is not practicing because of a non-COVID illness. So hopefully he's much better for tomorrow and the day after that and can get on the practice field. Von Miller and Roger Saffold were to get rest days today, but we were out of practice. I saw Von Miller had a helmet. He was ready to go for practice. So maybe he said, yeah, I'm good. I'm practicing. I don't know. And then limited today, Dane Jackson, Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Mitch Morse, new offensive lineman Jonathan Murray, and Dawson Knox. Those were all players who either missed last week's game or had to come out of Sunday's game, that being Dawson Knox. Dane Jackson, Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Mitch Morse missed last week's game. So the team is on the mend. They're in a little bit better shape. And the practice update is presented by LECOM, Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. Getting healthier, but yeah, Still a long way to go.
Yeah, and I still think some of those guys are, they're still achy from Sunday's game.
Well, Saffold played 90 plays.
Right. Those guys need a break, and they'll get it. I mean, they'll start to peak. They'll get them completely healthy and get them all hydrated and get them back to normal and then start to ramp them up for the game on Sunday. The thing that bothers me is, you know, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to play the Miami Dolphins. They're playing the Ravens. The Ravens are
a handful.
They are a really good football team. And despite the fact that the Miami Dolphins have beaten both these teams, and it's kudos to the Dolphins. They got, you know, they found their quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. Good for them. I'm glad. Tua's going to be, the Dolphins don't have to worry about it. That's fine. They're winners. Good for them. Let me just say
he
this.
He is 9-1 in his last 10 starts.
Good for him, man. Awesome. The Dolphins are set at QB for, that's fine. this game is between two teams that I think are going to be standing at the end of it all. Baltimore is a really good football team, and as long if Lamar stays healthy, obviously, just the same thing with the Bills. If Josh stays healthy, if those two guys stay healthy, these teams are going to be in the playoffs deep, and that's why this is a tough game going into Baltimore in a monsoon, which is you know, kryptonite for a team like the Bills who throws it all over the yard. So this game scares me. It really does. It's a tough matchup against a really good team.
Who's really good in their own building.
And they're good in their own building, and the Bills once again are going to get caught by conditions that are out of their control. So this is rough.
2 weeks in a row, the Bills might be impacted by weather more than the opponent.
Well, I don't know about the opponent in this case. This team's better than Miami.
Well, yeah.
But that's
weather will be a
factor. The margins are so close in the NFL. I mean, you think about Baltimore. They were beating Miami by 21 points in the fourth quarter. Two plays, busted coverages, and they lose. That's how it is.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
We should mention Dane Jackson out there practicing on a limited basis today and was wearing a red non-contact jersey. So certainly a good sign, an encouraging sign going forward. What his status will be for Sunday, we probably won't know until we get to Friday's practice. And an insurance measure in that regard was made today as well, as Xavier Rhodes was signed to the team's practice squad. Buffalo had two open spots on the practice squad. They signed Xavier Rhodes, the veteran cornerback, and they signed Prince Amealy, who got called up from the practice squad and elevated to the active roster last week, and then was released after the game and has since reverted back to the practice squad. They re-signed him to the practice squad today along with Rhodes. So there is some insurance there in the event that Dane Jackson doesn't make it all the way back to play this week. Rhodes might be up either way when you think about it.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
because really your only corners on the roster right now that are healthy, Taron Johnson, Kyir Elam, and then Cam Lewis and Saran Neal. Jamarcus Ingram is still on the practice squad
Jamarcus
as well.
Jamarcus Ingram's there, but
I think, you know, if Rhodes kind of acclimates himself well to the scheme and they feel good about calling him up, they will do that.
They have Kyler McMichael listed on
right.
The,
he's on the
he's
practice
a DB,
squad too.
And he's a 6'2" guy, rookie out of North Carolina. He's, you know, rookie undrafted free agent. But so they've got bodies of guys who are acclimated, but certainly Rhodes is brought in for a reason, and Sean, when asked, what does Rhodes bring to the equation, he started talking about learning and how you get him acclimated. He used the word experience about five times.
Yeah.
The guy's been around the block, and nothing's going to be too big for him. He's not going to get caught not aware, and that's why you sign the guy. You need a guy that's
been there and done that.
Can think about football rather than where he's at when he gets on the field.
The other update to pass along, Christian Benford had surgery on his broken hand from the game on Sunday, and Coach McDermott said it was a successful procedure. He said he's going to miss at least a couple of games, so this week, next week, where it goes from there, we'll probably know in a couple of weeks' time as far as the healing process is concerned. So that's the situation there with the Bills injury report and who's healthy and who's not. Speaking of health, a position that is not healthy for the Baltimore Ravens is defensive tackle, where Michael Pierce, it has been reported by a couple of the national reporters, suffered a torn biceps tendon in last week's game against New England. So his status is not out there yet, but I would venture to guess it's very much in doubt.
Right.
For Sunday's game, he's a big run stuffer for them in the middle.
Yeah, both these clubs are starting to, feel the weight of the reps that they've played here in the first month of the season. And we kind of got immune to it here in Buffalo for the last couple of years, but this is kind of normal procedure. Now, certainly Buffalo was a little bit – went deeper into the roster than most teams had to do
this early.
But at some point in the year, you figure this is all – would all happen. You'd like to see it spread out over about 3 months. But injuries are commonplace, and that's why the depth of your roster is so huge. The Bills just haven't been down this road for a couple of years.
That's right. One of the healthiest teams in the league in 2020 and 2021. But, yeah, the law of averages seems to have caught up with the Bills to some degree. Quick look around the NFL presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Bills. The Jets might be on to their fifth offensive tackle. They had to put left tackle George Fant on IR with a knee injury. He's the third offensive lineman placed on IR by the Jets this season, following Mekhi Becton and somebody else whose name's escaping me. Meanwhile, just in time for Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, who was medically cleared to return to full practice and game playing. He will start Sunday, or at least the anticipation is he'll start Sunday against the Steelers, who do not have T.J. Watt. So Zach Wilson is probably very happy about that, knowing he's going to have another backup lining up at left tackle for him on his blind side.
Right.
Browns defensive end Myles Garrett has an injured shoulder and biceps muscle as a result of his one car crash. Did you see footage of his car?
I did not. Is it ripped up?
Holy cow.
It looked
like
over,
it looked like DiCaprio's car in The Wolf of Wall Street. Remember when he thought, it's amazing, I got home completely high on drugs, and he thought he was like the Cat's Meow getting home without incident? He gets up the next morning and he looks at his car and it's completely it's ravaged. That's what Garrett's car looked like. I don't know how he got out of there and walked away from the accident. It was bad. Like, it looked like somebody stepped on a soda can. Like, that's how bad his car looked. Very, very, very fortunate that he escaped relatively unscathed. What his status is for Sunday's game for the Browns, we don't know yet. AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Steve, Trevor Lawrence.
Good for him.
38-10 victory last week over the Chargers, and that offense is on its way. Big play capabilities. And it's amazing what a young quarterback can do when he's got the right coach coaching.
Well, we found that out here in Buffalo. Trevor Lawrence was way more highly touted than Josh Allen coming out, and he struggled, I would say, as much or more than Josh Allen did his first year. And Josh was a struggle. You saw flashes of it at times, but I think you saw flashes of it with Josh's rookie year more than you did with Trevor Lawrence last year under Urban Meyer. Now, when you get Doug Peterson, and And I'll just say this, Jaguars haven't gotten much right over the last 4 or 5 years. They got this right. Doug Peterson can coach quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence is finding out, and you're seeing the results of it. That they strummed a team that some people thought had a chance to get to the Super Bowl, and certainly a playoff team in the Chargers this last week. They strummed them.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't even a game.
Yeah.
It was 24-0 or 24-7 at halftime.
Jacksonville had the first pick of the NFL draft this last April. They were the worst team in football last year by a long stretch, and they thumped one of the most envied rosters in the NFL this last Sunday and did it in resounding fashion. So
Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen off the edges.
They're good.
I think DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons might be the only tandem that I would take over those two.
Yeah, they're really good.
They are really good, and they're a handful. Tua, for those that care, limited in practice on Tuesday. Dolphins are playing on Thursday on a short week against the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins actually left Miami today to get out in time before the hurricane hit and impacted air travel. So think about this, Steve. They do film correction and review on Monday after Sunday's game against the Bills. They practice to yesterday and then fly out today to get out.
Yeah, they probably had a little bit of a walkthrough or kind of a thing today at the facility, and they'll fly out this afternoon. They may not even be in the air yet. They'll fly out later, but you know they got to get work done. But by the same token, you're trying to juggle hydration and travel and logistics and meetings and film study and working out and treatment, all of that stuff in a condensed week. We've all been there. We've all seen it, you know, in this thing. But I'm telling you what, that
as much have to do it
as rough as
Thanksgiving,
right? As rough as it was that Sunday game for the Bills, the heat. Now, it wasn't as bad because of the shade they were in, but they had to play in that too. The Dolphins did, and it was a rough and tumble game. So they're up against it as well. I'm telling you that if the Dolphins beat the Cincinnati Bengals on the road this week after what they went through this last Sunday with the Bills and all of that, what's going forward, that would raise their level of respect in my mind more so than beating the team the way the game happened on Sunday.
Okay.
If they beat the Bengals this week, that's impressive. That's really impressive to me. We'll see. But because that to me is a tough week.
Yeah.
A tough week. And nobody's got any love lost for the Dolphins here in Buffalo. But I'm telling you what, you think about it. That's a tough ask for the NFL to make them do it, particularly given the game they were in against Buffalo. I think that's the thing.
So while Miami leaves their facility early, it opens up the opportunity for the Tampa Bay Bucs to fly south to Miami to get out of the way of the hurricane, which is making landfall as we speak. They relocated to South Florida. They're practicing in the Dolphins facility this week to get ready for their game against the Chiefs, which is a game that is likely to be moved to Minneapolis due to Hurricane Ian. That will be the location if and when the league makes the call to officially move the game to a neutral site, with Tampa clearly in the path of Hurricane Ian, which is strengthening and maybe a Cat 5 by now, which is the highest and most and strongest a hurricane can be.
They're evacuating. It looks like they're evacuating the entire state of Florida. They're telling people to get out. And they have deadlines. That one day it's like 8 p.m. on Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Wednesday today, 8 p.m. tomorrow, and 8 p.m. the next day. It goes all the way up through the state. People have got to get out of there, right? Man, it's bad because people are going to die in this hurricane.
Well, people that don't evacuate.
People are going to get hurt. And I know it's your home. I know it's your property. I know people are going to die over it. It's bad. It's bad. You hope people look out for each other down there because, man, oh, man, it's coming and it ain't no stopping it. You can't shovel it snowstorms.
Yeah, you're right. And it's likely, at least at this point in time, based on some of the spaghetti models, you know, where they have the multiple tracks, that it will bring rain and pretty significant winds to Sunday's game between the Bills and Ravens in Baltimore. There is currently a 70% chance of rain for the game, winds of 25 to 30 miles per hour. So, for the second straight week, weather could play a major factor in how the game is played, much like it was last week in Miami due to the oppressive heat. So it'll be very interesting to see the weather we, in fact, get in Baltimore on Sunday because it's not looking good right now. Let's go to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Tom on a cell. What do you got for us, Tom? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing good.
I've been wanting to say this for a long time, and I'm not being contentious. I have thought this out, and I'm like, I watch the Bills, and every offseason, do we agree this management is really trying to win the Super Bowl? They are doing all the right things to try to win, not just to be competitive or to put rear ends in the seats. They're trying to win, which makes me sit there and wonder what their aversion is to having a running back who commands a little bit more respect than the ones we've had. Why do they seem to not – every offseason comes and goes, and I'm like, man, why do they go get Smurfs, who supposedly are the best pass catchers ever? Why can we not have a running back? We don't have to be a running team. They just command more respect, you know, keep defenses a little bit more honest. Why will they not do that? I don't get it.
Tom, you answered your own question. Why would they want to spend like a number one pick on a running back in a league that's not a running league? I get what you're saying.
Brady has one.
Say that?
Brady has a – other passing quarterbacks have – we don't need to spend a number one pick. Just go get somebody a little bit heavier than 200 pounds that commands just a little bit more respect at the line. And nobody's afraid of us running. Nobody.
No, they're not. Tom, you're right. They're not. But I'll say this. They're afraid of this offense.
Yeah.
Whether they run it or not. I get it. I mean, I get it. It would be great. But you're worried about – I don't know. I'm trying to think of an analogy. You wish the freight train that was rolling people over was a different color. I don't know. I mean, this is – this team is really good. Their offense is not a problem. And to be very honest with you, the first two, and let me go back and remind you the schedule for the Bills. They went to the defending world champions and hung 31 points on them. They went to the number one seed in the AFC. They played them at home and hung 41 on them. I'm not doing anything different. I don't care if you've got Derrick Henry in your backfield. I'm not handing it to him any more than I did when I scored 31 and 41 points in respective games. Now, they go into Miami, and I'll say this. You can say what you want about the running backs they have. It ain't about them last week. It's about offensive linemen 6, 7, and 8 that were starting in that game, plus the seventh one had an ACL tear. And the sixth one, the fifth one, the starting center was the sixth one the week before. He wasn't even on the field before. So you've got 6, 7, 8, and 9 offensive linemen playing in Miami. So, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing to complain about with his offense. Injuries, okay. Weather, okay. That's fine. There's nothing in this offense that says they need to change anything. If Walter Payton was in their backfield, you ain't handed it him any more than you're doing tonight. Now, he may run better when he does, but you're throwing it. If you have Jim Brown in your backfield, you're not going to change your game plan.
You're not going to run a little bit more with Jim Brown?
Maybe, because he may get more than 2 yards, maybe, because he's big, I guess, is what his point is. Listen, you're hanging 31 points on one team, 41 the next week, and then with offensive linemen 7, 8, and 9 on the field, one of them with an ACL tear, you're going to complain about your running game. Come on. I mean, come on. I get it. You wish you could run. Everybody wishes they could run the ball because it makes us feel good, because it takes the stress out of us. We never face a 3rd and 9 on with a big-time running back. I get that analogy, but let me just tell you something. They were 9 of 10 on 3rd down in week 1. 9 of 10.
They were 11 and 18.
I don't care if they ever hand it off. They're as good an offense as there is in the NFL. Maybe, and they're in the conversation for the best one. So, and jump up and down about how the offseason went. Oh, come on. Come on. This team is the preseason favorite to go to the Super Bowl, and due to a confluence of adverse conditions this last week, good Dolphins defense. That's fine. I'm not even going to start in on a troll conversation with Miami fans. They've got one loss by 2 points in a game where they can look at themselves and say, hey, we're the ones that – man, don't mess with this roster when it's fully healthy. I'm not changing anything. I'm not trading any of these guys, not the running backs, not the tight ends, not the offensive linemen, nobody. So I get it. There's always one thing, you know. There's always one thing that we don't have, or that they do, that we wish we had, or that we wish we did better. Come on, we're a freight train. We're a freight train. Don't worry about what we don't got.
And I will say that, you know, they invested a second round pick in James Cook, who I think flashed last week in the passing game. I realize he's probably not the between the tackles runner that our caller wanted, but give it a little bit of time, and I think you'll see that James Cook can be an added weapon in this offense, maybe not in the fashion that you think, but I think he will be a weapon that fits this offense perfectly for what they want to do with the running back position. I just think some things have to unfold. And I'll say this, because we talked about this yesterday. Aaron Cromer was brought in to change the rushing attack formula, and I think it's going to take some time, just like anything else that's new. And, you know, you want to have your criticisms now. That's fine. Let's see where it is in week 6, 7, and 8. Week 7's a bye. But by the time we get to midseason, let's see what this run game looks like.
What are you talking about? We scored 31 on the world champions, 41 on the one seed, came in, and you got no offensive line, 19 guys are on the injured list, and you're worried about running the foot. You're saying we should have run the foot. Come on. So you want to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. That makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if he's saying that. I think the only thing
that is what he's saying. Hand the football off to another guy, it's out of Josh's hands.
Well, yes,
if you want to get a not guy who you want to give it to more, that's exactly what you're saying.
No, what he was saying was he doesn't feel like any running back on our roster intimidates any team in the league, because there's no fear that they're going to gain any appreciable yardage of any kind.
And
he believes if you have a big back, you at least offer the threat of that. and it has to be respected. He doesn't think that our running backs are respected by any opposing defense.
He's worried about respect.
Well, yeah. I'm just
how
telling
much
you
think
what
they respect
saying.
You when they hang 41 points on you?
Well, I know
how much they think they respect you when you're hanging 41 points and you got a 4-to-1 touchdown ratio. How much respect do you think they're getting? You don't think they're – yeah, okay.
I think we've covered that.
Spare me that.
Let's move along to Keith in Holland next. What do you have for us, Keith?
Yeah, Brownie, first of all, I'd just like to say the squirrel problem. The dog did his job. Maybe Steve knows from hunting pheasants or something. The dog finds the animal, and then you're supposed to finish the job. That's what that's about.
All right. Okay.
You took a picture with my grandson over in East Aurora this weekend, and I want to thank you. It's a big deal for him.
Who, me?
Well, no, for my grandson. It's for me.
You're talking about Steve took the picture?
Steve took a picture.
Yeah, I wasn't in East Aurora.
In East Aurora this past weekend.
All right, Keith.
What's up?
I know you do that for a lot of people.
No worries. What's on your mind, Keith? What else?
He was worried about the squirrel.
No, squirrel, just Brownie. Brownie was supposed to take care of the squirrel.
Well, I did eventually with a roof rake in one hand and my spike ball net in the other. I mean, I was no gladiator, but I was...
See, for me, I got a bunch of grandkids. I could have gotten one of their swords and shields, and I could have done the whole thing in costume.
What were you going to say, Keith?
No, I was just going to say, normally the dog makes the animal come around by you so you can finish the job. So I think you were a little critical of the dog. I think you did what you're supposed to do.
All right. You want to give full marks to my dog? That's fine, Keith. I have no problem with that. I'll try to be better prepared. But my older dog, she used to just chase him clean out of the yard. Right. I didn't have to lift a finger. My younger dog, she's learning.
There you go.
She got totally faked out of her socks, though, because the squirrel doubled back on her and ran in my garage yesterday. It was nuts. I don't know how it happened. What's the biggest critter you ever had to deal with?
Skunk.
Oh, that's not fun. My older dog got sprayed by a skunk. She ran right up to the thing, and the thing just turned tail and said, here you go.
Word. I don't care. Skunk.
What'd you have to do with that? How do you get rid of one of those they're... Oh, you just... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What was it, in your garage or your shed or something?
No, nesting. Night after night, they were right out in my backyard, and I, you can't let anything outside. I just dispatched them.
Okay.
They're gone. And the problem is, what happens when you, you got to bury them quick.
How deep?
The fastest hole you can dig, you dig it and you throw them in.
You know what my dad has to deal with? He lives in South Carolina. You know what they do with down there? Armadillos.
Oh, yeah.
They have completely migrated across the Sun Belt from Texas and now up
and
the
I'll
East Coast.
Too,
they're in South Carolina.
They're
now.
Not good for anything either.
They'll cut your power lines to your house if they're underground.
Yeah, they're bad.
They just dig. He can't stand armadillos. Yeah. They're like public enemy number one for him.
There you go.
They don't move too fast, though, and you can trap them. So. All right. This Critter Talk brought to you by Steve and Chris. We'll take a break here and talk more Bills. We actually have head coach Sean McDermott, who addressed the media prior to today's practice. We'll have his comments for you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.